Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
You think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey. Want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two, Football Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan. If you got your NFL Red Zone on the TV or your favorite football team on the TV, I hope you have us on the radio dial, the Odyssey app, YouTube in the background. However the hell you listen to us, I hope you are still listening as you enjoy this final week 18 of the regular season. And I hope it goes better for you than it did for us Duck fans on New Year's Day.
Yikes.
Well, I have another establishment to cross off my list of not to watch a game at. It's become the trend with my friends and I, where it's, we'll watch Oregon games at different places, and then if something really, really bad happens at said place, it's like, all right, we're not watching the game there going forward.
I like that tradition.
Big Al's was crossed off our list a couple years ago in the final year of Mario Cristobal, once he decided to give up on the Oregon Ducks and quit the team. And they ended up getting boat raced by Utah in the Pac-12 championship game, for God's sakes. That was where we crossed that one off the list. And unfortunately, for the fine people up at the Twilight Room in North Portland, up on the bluff there by the University of Portland.
Peace out.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll be back one day, but right now it's not looking good, because after what happened on New Year's Day with the Oregon Ducks, that one was tough. That one was up there in one of the most disappointing moments I have felt as an Oregon fan. As you mentioned earlier in the show, Jordan, I mean, you really didn't have time to even get settled in to the board on Oregon Ducks game day, because from the very start of the game, was it three plays,
70 yards, ridiculous.
That is how the game started. I was like, okay, well, that's not ideal, not the way you want to start. And then it just snowballed, and it got worse, and Jeremiah Smith caught everything that went his way, and they got chunk play after chunk play. I think they were averaging at one point 12 yards per play halfway through the second quarter. They were getting they were on pace for over 700 yards of offense at one point in the second quarter. It was, again, one of the most disappointing moments I've had as an Oregon fan, because this wasn't the Pac-12 championship game. This was a playoff game. This was the Rose Bowl. This was playing Ohio State. There were so many factors that went into this game that made it as important as it was. And that's what we got. That's what was served up to us. And this is also a reason why I was extremely nervous coming into the game, because of how Ohio State looked against Tennessee. I think that, and I know it was a different collection of players, different group, different defense, but this is the second year in a row now that we have seen a team just take advantage of this defense on the back end, over the top, in the secondary. Last year, we saw it with Washington and Michael Penix, where it's basically, it's like, we're just going to throw bombs on you. We're going to throw down the field. We trust that we have a better scheme. We have better players than what you are going to be able to do in the secondary. We're good luck stopping us. We have more talented receivers. Our receivers are more talented than your secondary. And we're going to prove that. We're going to throw on you all day long. And Will Howard, God, one of the most punchable faces in all of college football. He balled out. And I felt like one of the biggest reasons why he was able to do that is another reason that I think the defense is one of the biggest problems of this game, is because you weren't able to make him feel uncomfortable. You weren't able to generate pressure. You weren't able to do that early in the game. So he just felt like he could do whatever he wanted all game long. It was sort of a microcosm of all the flaws of the season wrapped up into one game. Where you had defensive lapses, your offensive line shut down on you, Dillon Gabriel holding onto the ball longer than he should have because there wasn't anything available downfield. I don't know. Again, I guess it would be the Pac-12 championship against Utah was the most recently I have felt like this as a Ducks fans, this level of disappointment. I was shell-shocked. I was stunned silent in that bar. And when it got 31-0, it was over. Yeah. I mean,
9 minutes to go in the second quarter. It was over.
And I have yet to apologize to my friend Tanner and a couple of the other people I was with, because when it gets to that point, again, I am a dead inside sports fan. So it's like, I didn't have any faith that we were going to come back and make that a game. We hit score, stop, score, stop, score, stop, score, stop against that team. That game was over in the second quarter. There's no chance the Ducks were going to come back and get that win. And the little bit of faith and hope that you had, that glimmer of light that showed up in the second half for a couple seconds, that waned immediately. And yeah, again,
I had that
disappointment, that level of disappointment, I have not felt that for this team in a long time.
I think it was the worst Oregon Ducks football game I've ever watched, period. Hands down. I'm 35. I've been watching Ducks games since the Joey Harrington, AJ Feely days. I barely missed Akili Smith being at the university. Started watching, what, so like 1999, 2000. That is hands down, that is the toilet bowl for me of my lifetime of worst games for Oregon Ducks football, because, as you said, Joe, it was over basically as it started or before it started. A minute in, 7-0. And then you're like, well, okay, you know, they had a scripted series. Maybe Oregon can respond. We'll see what they got to come back out. Oh, nothing. Their defense was in the backfield. Oregon couldn't run, and it was 2-3 and outs in a row. Now, I say that, and I wonder why Oregon, you know, didn't prepare well enough, or the coaches didn't have a good enough game plan, or were out coached by Ohio State, or why the players didn't show up. You could ask, you know, was it the gap of time between games? There's so many reasons, but like, there's just, man, there's something to be said about just laying an egg in the first 6 minutes of a performance. I don't really know what I'm more mad about. If I'm more mad about the players, or if I'm more mad about like the coaches basically being out coached. But to that point, I can't put it all on that. Jeremiah Smith is an absolute freak of an athlete. He's 18 years old, and dude belongs in the NFL right now. He could be making a difference standing on the other side of the line for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers paired up with Mike Evans right now. Baker Mayfield could be throwing touchdown passes to that kid. He would be like a top 15, top 10 wide receiver. He's got like such a body of like a 28-year-old already, and he's still only 18. His talent is unbelievable. That being said, once again, to go back to the other side, Joe, and credit Chip Kelly, right? He disguised Jeremiah Smith like an expert, basically kind of just letting him leak out in that first touchdown pass that put Oregon down 7-0. Kind of, you know, after that motion from behind the tight end, just going to the other side of the line, all the defenders are looking around like, all right, guys, we can't lose track of four. We can't lose track of four. And then all collectively at the same time, 5-6 guys are like, hey, who's got four? Where's four? Oh, he's catching the ball. It's too late. It's a touchdown. And then another touchdown by Egbuka. It was a one or long catch to Egbuka to set up another touchdown. It was a one-handed freaking catch. There's not much you can do about the talent of Ohio State's wide receivers. So I want to say that it was very comparable to the Washington game, Joe, where Oregon just allowed them to go over the top, but I'm not sure it was so much Oregon allowed them to go over the top. I think Ohio State is unbeatable over the top. And, I mean, there's a whole crap load to talk about on the defensive end as well. The defensive end as well for Oregon, like in the middle, the front seven, the front four didn't really get pressure on Will Howard. There's a lot to talk about with Dylan Gabriel as well. But ultimately, I think that Ohio State's receivers were just too good. Jeremiah Smith and Egbuka are better than everybody else in college football, and Oregon just ran into a freaking buzzsaw.
Yeah, again, I just think it was that game was just it was a microcosm of all the things that went wrong throughout the season at different points. At the beginning of the year, it was the offensive line having problems. Well, yeah, you weren't able to generate a run game. They kept running the ball, doing these zone plays to run on the outside that just weren't going anywhere. It was as if they just didn't even want to run inside at points.
Because they knew they couldn't fight through the teeth of the defense.
So the offensive line, that was the big problem at the beginning of the year. Dylan Gabriel taking sacks, too many sacks happening, whether that was the offensive line's fault or his, just not making something happen, either whether it's just making a throw, throwing the ball, trying to get something happen, or running with his legs, trying to make a play happen there. That didn't generate anything. The defense had moments this year that were better than, I would say that was the more consistent unit throughout the season. But I mean, we saw what happened against Ohio State the first time they played. They put up 32 points or whatever it was. So you know that this team could score. You know that the team had a good offense. It was just extreme. I don't know if I'd rank it as the most disappointing game, but when you go 13-0, you win the Big Ten, you beat this team before, and I know it was at Autzen. To have that performance, to go out and from the jump just look not a step behind, multiple steps behind this team, schematically, talent, players, effort. Like, it was just everything that could go wrong did go wrong. It was shocking. I don't know where they go from here.
No, I don't either.
Because I don't know. I mean, it sounds like they're rolling with Dante Moore next year. The transfer quarterbacks, there aren't many out there. And from the understanding of the players in that locker room, Tez Johnson went ahead and said that Dante Moore is going to be a Heisman finalist next year.
Okay.
And that he can do things with the football that he's never seen before. So that is some internal thought on how people feel about Dante Moore next year at quarterback. But as far as what this team looks like next year, where you're going to get talent, I think that you are going to have to figure out some things offense as far as how you are going to be able to get more plays vertically downfield and get some of these playmakers to have a bigger impact. Because I think it was a talent gap as well. Like, as far as like what you're saying, like Jeremiah Smith, Egbuka, like Ohio State, this is the team that we thought they could be. And they were showing it. And when you have an Ohio State team that is playing to its fullest capability, I don't think it's this big of a gap, but there's a gap, and you need to figure out how to close that. It still hurts to look at an Oregon logo. As far as my sports teams, like I was talking about at the beginning of this show, this is one of the teams that I have like the most hope for as far as getting to the top of the mountain and being a championship contending team. I think they're on the right track. This is year three of Lanning. He's recruiting great. You're getting great players.
Yeah.
I think that you're
We've
on
seen
the
all
right
that
track.
Stuff grow in the right direction this year.
But just what a gut punch. Like, you thought you'd be a little bit closer than that. Taking a loss in that game is understandable against a great team like Ohio State. But losing like that is really where the feelings are, where it is hard to take because of, again, just from the jump to the very end, there was a sizable gap between the two teams.
And really quickly, did the players even give the coaches an opportunity to execute any kind of game plan? That's kind of the negative, unfortunately, of coming out and being down 7-0 immediately. Oregon got to run 6 plays on offense, and then they were down 14-0. What does Will Stein do from there?
That's
You're
what I'm saying.
Already 10 feet under.
Yeah. I mean, granted, a lot of game left at that point,
of
right?
Of course, but it's.
But again, you kept kind of doing the same things over and over again that
yeah,
weren't getting
exactly.
anything. Those outside runs where, I mean, they were just flying up the gaps and just, you know, stopping them for no gain, 1 yard loss, 2 yard. Like, it seemed like it's like, all right, maybe you should stop doing that. That clearly isn't working. We need to figure out something else here. Run it up the middle. I don't know why we were scared to do that.
Because they couldn't. Because the defense was just too good. Their four offensive linemen were, or a defensive lineman, excuse me, were freaking studs, and they were getting the space on our offensive linemen all night long.
Tough. Tough. But Ohio State, they advance. They will be taking on Texas in the next round. Let's talk about some of these other playoff teams, what the matchups look like, their games that they had, because we have our final four in the college football playoff. We talk about that next here, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Auto accident? Worried about your deductible? Don't. Before you file a claim, call Leif's Auto Collision Centers. Leif's unique program can help. Unlike the other body shops, we don't work for insurance companies. We work for you. Remember, you have the right to choose who repairs your vehicle. That's the law. Call me at Leif's before you file a claim. And of course, pick up and delivery throughout the Northwest, factory parts, pre-loss repairs. Leif's Auto Collision Centers, family owned for 34 years. The finest in collision repair.
A little bit of breaking news here concerning the Oregon Ducks. We already knew that he was leaving. But the former Oregon Duck commit, four-star slash five-star, depending on who you ask, quarterback from Hawaii, Jaron Kiwa Sagapalutele?
Sagapalutele, I think.
He is going back to Cal after being with the Ducks for 40 days, I think it was.
On the sideline for the Rose Bowl in uniform, by the way, as an enrolled Oregon student.
Yeah, he is going back to Cali, playing for Cal next year, kind of going back to my sentiment about Dante Moore. I think that he got there and realized very quickly that he would not be the starter next year and wants to be a starter immediately.
Did
which
he really,
is why he's going to Cal.
I am just shocked that he really thought as an 18-year-old kid he'd be starting at a program that was competing for a national championship. He really thinks that he's Marcus Mariota. Which, there's been one Marcus Mariota in all of Oregon history. How many freshman quarterbacks start in college football? And then, how many freshman quarterbacks start at blue blood programs like Alabama, like Oregon?
Well, it, the last, what is it?
It doesn't happen very often.
Now, granted, DJ and Mateo, they're not from Hawaii. They're Utah, right?
I believe, technically, yes.
Are they, actually, no, I think they're California. Because, yeah, I want to say that DJ was a California kid. Let's see. Yeah, St. John Bosco High School in California. So, yeah, I mean, the last true freshman quarterback of Samoan descent that I remember starting for a blue blood program was DJU at Clemson. And we all saw how that went. He was now on his, what is it, fourth team?
Well, maybe I don't want to say I hope that happens to this kid, but it's just frustrating that you see him waste his transfer now and go back to Cal when he literally could have done that in the first place. It's all of these extra like committal, non-committal times, Joe. I feel like it just gives these kids the ability to like make these mistakes. And I understand it's life, you know, you're going to make your own mistakes, but can we not just give them this platform to get up and like put this hat on, you know, a year before changing their minds? It's useless. He literally did that so he could go be at a press conference and put a hat on and be the center of attention. And now he's doing it again so he can be the center of attention. You know what? Earn being the center of attention. You're in the big world now. You're not at your high school anymore.
So yeah, just thought I'd pass that along.
Sorry, that pisses me off. I'm so sorry.
No, it's all good. I mean, it's funny. I mean, college football and these kids, I mean, 18-year-olds making rash decisions, a tradition as old as time.
And we give them the ability to act unrash. That's what even further pisses me off.
Playoffs are still going along. We've got four more teams left. The final four is Texas, Ohio State. That is one matchup. And then the other matchup, which this one's more intriguing to me is the Penn State-Notre Dame game.
Yeah.
Penn State, Notre Dame, Orange Bowl, Texas, Ohio State, Cotton Bowl. Both, well, not both on January 10th. Actually, Penn State, Notre Dame is on Thursday. Texas, Ohio State is on Friday, both at 4:30 on ESPN. The Penn State Notre Dame game is one of the more intriguing ones to me because they're both very similar. Penn State definitely can pass the ball a little bit more, but both rely heavily on their run game. Both have great defenses. So it's one of those, like, something's got to give. Like, what is that going to be? Notre Dame's defense right now, I think, is the best unit in college football. Maybe Ohio State's offense is right up there with them, but the way Notre Dame's defense has played the last 2 weeks, I mean, giving up only 10 to Georgia, and I know that they had the backup quarterback in there, but there's, to me, I said this last week, using Ohio State's offensive line problems as an excuse, it's like, that's still backups at Ohio State. They're going to be good. Same thing with Georgia. Like, oh, well, Georgia had a backup quarterback playing. His first start, well, that's still a backup quarterback at Georgia. You know, we saw what happened when Nick Saban threw Tua in at halftime in the national championship game, right? Worked out pretty well for him. So the whole excuse of using a backup quarterback for Georgia doesn't really fly with me. Sorry. Highly recruited. Holding Georgia to 10 points and then Indiana to quote unquote 17 points, those last little two touchdowns. I just think that, and you know, give it to Penn State as well as their defense. I mean, they held Boise State, kept Genty in check. They basically were like, we're going to put 2 to 3 guys on Genty and let this Boise State do whatever else they think they can do to try and beat us. And that won't be much. And holding SMU to 10 points. So, again, both of these defenses are playing phenomenal. Notre Dame's defense has just been doing this a little bit longer, I feel like. They've had, even before the playoffs, some amazing defensive performances. So I am really curious to see what happens in this Penn State-Notre Dame game. Ohio State, 6-point favorite against Texas. I am praying that Texas ends up getting the win. I am praying that they come out on top. It's just a matter of what Quinn Ewers are you going to get, right?
Yeah.
Like he,
how it goes.
I mean, hell, give him credit. Them pulling out that win late against Arizona State, getting that touchdown in overtime. I mean, that is some of the best football we've seen Quinn Ewers play in quite some time. He looked pretty damn good. 20 for 30, 322 yards, 3 touchdowns, and just 1 pick. But he had to make plays to propel them to the victory, and he did. Again, getting that touchdown and getting 2 touchdowns in overtime. But the one to give them the victory, or to tie the game, rather, on 4th down, I believe it was, and then for them to end up on 1 play just sealing the game and giving them the 39-31 lead. So if you get that Quinn Ewers, and also there's motivation for him, right? Like he was a former Ohio State player that ended up transferring. So you do have motivation for Quinn Ewers to kind of show them that I made the right decision. And I really want Texas to win this game, but obviously you understand why Ohio State is favored the way they are. Texas has got to get the run game going. When you've seen them be their most successful this year and look their most dominant is when they're able to run the ball. So if they can do that against Ohio State, then I think you're going to have a chance for Texas to win this. But they have got to run the rock. They got Quinn Ewers. He needs to play like he did against Arizona State, limit the mistakes, and make plays when they need him to.
And run the ball a little bit well. That was some successful stuff that we haven't seen from him all season. It's usually Arch doing that, but he was able to get out for a couple of runs. It helped.
So, I mean, again, Ohio State favored for a good reason. They are just have all the confidence in the world right now. They have all the swagger when you're able to put up points like you've done against Oregon, against Tennessee. Losing that Michigan game was maybe the best thing for them.
No kidding. It motivated them into a monster. I don't think anybody can beat them at this point in the college football playoff, Joe. Any of these 3 teams left. Texas is really good. That's going to be a battle up front. But then you look at the position players and you lean on, you know, Ohio State for that. They've got the 2-headed attack at running back in Judkins and Henderson, who had that near 70-yard open touchdown run against Oregon. And he'll probably do that again against Texas because they're going to be so focused. focused on Egbuka and Smith that Henderson's just going to be forgotten about. And, oh yeah, Will Howard can run the ball too. I just don't think they're going to be able to handle that on Texas's side. They haven't really played anybody, in my opinion, that good all season. And then as far as Penn State, Notre Dame go, it's going to be a good game. The defenses are, I'd say, pretty even, so it's going to come down to a very, very crappy Riley Leonard. And I know he's a good runner, but dude at quarterback is just ugly. It's always an ugly game when he's trying to throw the ball. What did he go, like 9 of 17 for like 80 yards or something like that in the last college football playoff matchup? It was pretty bleak. He can run the ball and that's it. So it's basically him versus, you know, the other quarterback in Drew Aller for Penn State. And I would lean on him and Tyler Warren to be able to get it done. Minus Abdul Carter, most likely. I don't think he's going to play, but even if he's not in on the defensive line for Penn State, they're going to get the win.
Yeah, and again, Penn State's combo that they have at running back, Catron Allen, Nicholas Singleton. Yeah. They have a great dual-headed monster there. But again, the rushing attack for Notre Dame is very good as well. I think that they are, I mean, they're up there as far as rushing yards per game. I think Penn State and them both are top 10, top 15. That's why, again, this game is the most interesting one to me, because it's just like what is going to happen and what's got to give in this one. Both great running teams, both great defenses. So what, I have no idea what's going to happen in this, but let's try and predict it. Coming up next, we give our matchups of what we think is going to happen and what we want to see happen. I feel like those are always two completely different things as far as the teams we want to see in the national championship game and what we think is actually going to happen. So we do that next here, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan. But first, Schultzy with a SportsCenter update. Couple quick NFL updates. Texas just had a 92-yard touchdown run. Damian Pierce playing the lowly Titans, who are rocking the Houston Oilers throwbacks today. So I guess they get a couple points for that.
Nice.
But that will not show up on the scoreboard as the Titans, the Texans take a 14-0 lead. One thing to keep an eye on as we get into the playoffs, the Philadelphia Eagles, they are locked into the 2 seed. Jake Elliott missed a 39-yard field goal. I don't know if you've been following Jake Elliott of the Eagles, their kicker. Something you kind of want in the playoffs usually is a good kicker, consistent kicker, someone who's maybe, you know, able to hit 50-yard field goals.
Might need a clutch field goal or two, yeah.
Yeah, usually that happens in the playoffs. Just keep an eye on that, because I think he's been one of the worst kickers beyond 50 yards this year, and now he's missing 39-yarders. Just something to, again, keep your eye on. And also in the second quarter of the Buccaneers-Saints game, right now the Saints lead 6-3.
That's ridiculous.
And Mike Evans, he is absolutely doing nothing. Zero targets.
What are you doing, Tampa Bay? You are killing.
Again,
Vegas bettors right now.
I got red zone on. I think that the fix was in from the very beginning. I think Vegas and all the bettors, everybody, were just trying to make people lose money and say, oh yeah, bet the incentive, absolute lock. I still have faith, though. I still have faith that my who do you love pick will be correct.
They got
and that
three
the
quarters.
Over 100.5 receiving yards will hit.
Oh, Baker's throwing the ball. Oh, where is he going? Oh, he's throwing it away. Nope, nobody.
Damn it. But playoffs, college football playoffs, Jordan. Who do you want to see in the national championship game? But who do you think will be in the national championship game?
Because
I can tell you right now who I want in the national championship game. I want to see a Texas Notre Dame national championship
yeah.
game. Don't want to see Ohio State win for obvious reasons. Penn State, don't want to see them have any success anywhere in football. Maybe reasons not as obvious, but for transgressions that happened during the Paterno years. So don't ever wish anything good upon them. Penn State and Baylor are like the two schools that I hold a grudge against for forever, essentially. So Texas Notre Dame, that's what I want to see in the national championship game. That is a national championship game that I think that I could that I can get behind and that I would be content in watching. I'll watch it either way. But that is the one where that is the game that I want to see because of my feelings towards all of those schools.
I mean, hate Texas. I hate Ohio State. So
I should hate Texas too.
You had to ask me which one. Like, I'm choosing between like two different foods I hate. You're putting like a bowl of mayonnaise and a bowl of peas in front of me. I just don't know which one I'd rather have.
Well, peas, I would hope, but. Just wolfing down some mayo.
They're both disgusting, dude.
Well,
both disgusting.
Dear God, I mean, you're gonna just wolf down.
So one is slightly less gross than the other, is what we're trying to say here. But like, I guess the slightly less gross option, even though they've beat Oregon now like multiple times in big games, I'm gonna have to lean on Ohio State. They're just too good. I want to see the best team in, and I truly believe at that point it's Ohio State, so I can't leave them out just because I hate them as a Duck fan.
So on the Penn State Notre Dame side, then who would you want to see in that one?
I mean, I can't ever root for Penn State because of their past. Sorry. And their fans are just a bunch of D-bags that did not want to acknowledge any of the crappy things that happened there. Horrible, disgusting things that their coaching staff allowed to continue. And then when the Joe Pa statue came down, how their fans bitched about that. No, I can never, ever in good conscience, ever root for Penn State to do anything. I know that they're the better team, especially on offense, but I hope to see Notre Dame in this game against Ohio State.
Which is kind of weird because, as far as like fan bases go, I don't know. I don't really have a beef with like Notre Dame fans. I don't think they're obnoxious by any means. I don't think I've ever run into like personally or across the internet world, like annoying Notre Dame fans. And it would be nice for something maybe good to finally happen to them after having years where they're like almost there. And then they play Alabama in the national championship, and then they absolutely get boat raced in that. I want to see Texas Notre Dame, but I think it's going to be the complete opposite that happens. I think we're going to get Ohio State Penn State Big Ten matchup, which is great for the Big Ten narrative, right? But the way that Ohio State is looking offensively, I think what you saw Texas against Arizona State, Texas against Georgia twice. I think that's who they are. I think they're a great team, but I don't think they're one of the best teams. I think that they play down to their opponents, and I think when they go against actually truly really, really great teams that are on the same level as them, or if not better, then they lose, like they did to Georgia twice this year. I think they played down to Arizona State. Arizona State made a hell of a comeback, but Texas should have won that game by multiple possessions. I mean, they were winning that game by multiple possessions.
I don't know if they should have, man. Cam Scataboo, the loser.
He was great.
The losing team getting the MVP in the Peach Bowl, not going to Cam Scataboo for his crazy performance. Like, I don't know if Texas should have beat them by multiple scores. That really, at that point in the game, you felt like that's what should have happened. But 8 minutes to go in the fourth, just when Kenny Dillingham's sitting there looking pretty nervous on the sidelines, knowing that Sam Levitt, that Cam Scataboo, his two big old weapons, don't have all the bullets in the gun. It's like, I'm working with half a chamber here. What the hell do I do? And somehow those guys find a way to pull it out and tie the game. And frankly, if it weren't, in my opinion, for Texas getting that touchdown and then the way that overtime works, getting the ball right back again after that touchdown, just keeping the momentum, their offense is in sync. If it weren't for that, I'm not sure Texas would have won this game, frankly.
Well, you know, and the whole woulda, coulda, shoulda, but it didn't, you know. But Texas was up 16 points in that fourth quarter, right?
Like, it's true.
They were clearly the better team for like 3.5 quarters, and then just gacked it down their leg to let Arizona State get back into that.
Well, Dillingham did what he wanted to do. He accomplished the goal of wearing Texas down. Like, you know what? Scataboo's going to get tired. He's going to get more physically beat up than he has all season.
A well-timed trick play.
Exactly. A well-timed trick play as well. But you use the running back that literally has been the guy that just gets you to where you are. It's like Boise State feeding Ashton Chanty. You feed Cam Scataboo, and you make him tire out the defense. And I think that's what you saw a little bit in the fourth quarter. They got tired out. But yes, Joe, along with that really clutch trick play on a fourth down, I might add, huge touchdown pass from Cam Scataboo. Yeah, nobody saw that coming.
But again, this is why I think that, you know, Texas being a tier below some of these other teams that are at this point, like Penn State versus Ashton Gentry, what were they able to do? Completely eliminate him being a factor. Texas versus Cam Scadabo. Both of those going into those games, like, you knew, like, this is their guy. We need to make sure that he does nothing. We need to make sure that we eliminate him from this game and make sure that he isn't as big of a factor. Penn State was able to do that. Texas wasn't. So that's why I feel like it's like, Texas, you're good. You're a great team. But you played down to Arizona State. You weren't able to stop their best player in Cam Scadabo. And now you are, now I'm supposed to believe that you're going to be able to stop Jeremiah Smith, Travion Hendrickson, that you're going to be able to stop Igbuka. You're going to be able to stop Judkins. You're going to be able to stop Will Howe. Like, I'm sorry. The rubber's got to meet the road. Great season, great team. You had your moments this year. But what I want to see happen isn't going to happen. It's not going to be Texas Notre Dame. I think it's going to be Ohio State, Penn State. Because also, you're right, I think Penn State does have a little bit more versatile of an offense. Drew Aller, he can make some plays with his arm. Whereas Riley Leonard, at this point, does not look like he can do that. If you are Penn State, stack the box. Make Riley Leonard beat you. Make Riley Leonard make plays through the air, which I don't think he's going to be able to do. And so that's why I think it's going to be Ohio State, Penn State, all Big Ten. The teams that Oregon beat in the national championship game.
I think it's going to be Penn State, Ohio State, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I think Penn State's just better. I already said in our last segment that I think that their offense is going to outplay a really crappy Riley Leonard on the Notre Dame side. Their defenses seem to be pretty even. But even with that, Abdul Carter, I'm going to say that Penn State wins, and they're going to move on to the Natty. And, yeah, Texas not going to be able to match up against Ohio State's talent, in my opinion. But it's going to be a good game in the trenches, and if Texas is able to establish the run, they've got a shot.
There's I said I'm going to watch regardless. Ohio State, Penn State, that is a tough watch emotionally. That is a tough one to...
Yeah,
that's one of those where you kind of have to just, like, all right, eliminate the logos, eliminate the colors, and just watch it as a game of football for football.
It's true.
that one, I'm going to need a shower after that one. Because I do not want either of those teams to have any success any way, shape, or form. I pray I do not see that matchup. Give me Texas Notre Dame.
I hear you.
Please, for the love of God. All right, final segment. Wrap up things next here. Football Sunday, 10 of the Fan. While college football season winds down, it is getting to the point of the year where players move, transfer teams, players go to the NFL draft. One bit of news that just came across the wire here. Two quarterbacks, actually, with some news there. Is, you remember a guy named Robbie Ashford, Oregon commit?
Yes.
And then he went to Auburn?
Yeah.
And then he went to South Carolina?
These kids, man. Yep.
And now he's going to Wake Forest.
Oh, see if he'll find some success there.
Maybe Jake Dickert, former Wazoo head coach, now Wake Forest head coach. Maybe he has his quarterback.
I don't know.
And Robbie Ashford.
I bet he's still going for John Mateer.
Well, Mateer is Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, that already happened. Yeah, yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah, he'll be going to Oklahoma.
Big old check for Mateer.
Oh, my God. Tampa Bay has 44 yards against the Saints.
What is happening?
They're going to blow this, aren't they?
This is what we were saying. This is the NFL, Joe. I think I said it a couple of different times during the segments. Like, anything could happen, and here we freaking are. I might as well just throw my tickets out right now.
They're going to blow this. And Carolina, Atlanta tied at 3 at the end of the first quarter.
And by the way, speaking of which, incorrect programming note on my part that I need to correct. The Seattle Seahawks game will actually be heard on 9:10 ESPN Portland today.
Ducks play at like 12:30,
yeah,
right?
I forgot that there was a freaking Ducks game, so you got pregame for that here on The Fan at noon, and then that tip-off is at 12:30. But the pregame for the Seattle Seahawks is going to begin and going, what, about 7 minutes from now? That is over, though, on 9:10 ESPN Portland.
So. And I have to make a score correction because the Panthers are now up 10-3.
Oh, that happened quick.
So the Falcons and Buccaneers both might lose. And then if that's the case, then it's the Buccaneers that will be going to the playoffs. And also in college football, this coming across the news feed, Georgia quarterback Jaden Rashada will be entering the transfer portal.
Well, yeah, he isn't going to start there anytime soon, right?
I mean, I don't know. I guess not. I mean, if they're rolling with Gunnar Stockton next year, Jaden Rashada, of course, he had committed to Arizona State, played a little bit as a freshman, then went and transferred to Georgia. He will be in the transfer portal and will either be going back to Georgia, which is unlikely, or going to his third team in as many years.
Maybe Washington State can pick him up. I'm serious. That's kind of the name, actually, that I think they'd be they'd fit with. They'd probably be in on somebody like that. And I know, isn't Malik Murphy, after he said he was going to Oregon State, has that been cleaned up yet? Because then he was going on an official visit somewhere else.
Oh, I don't know. I thought that was just, you know, the last I heard of that is he had committed to Oregon State.
That's what I'd heard, too. But then days after that, he was going to visit another school. So this whole process to me is
just funny.
It's a mess, Joe.
It's a mess, but it's funny to me because of how much of a mess it is.
No, I hear you. It's funny. But once again, it is allowing these kids to make dumb decisions. And yes, college is a place where you learn, but you're supposed to be, like, encouraged to make smart decisions, not just act a fool.
Hey, I hear you. Going to Oregon State and spending 4 years of your life, transformative life in Corvallis, you know, not the brightest decision if you ask this Oregon Duck alum, but I digress.
You got to listen to beaver chainsaws for four straight years. Like, God, get out.
That's another Oregon State first down.
I will never attend another game at Reser Stadium again unless it's maybe a Civil War because of those chainsaws. They can go F themselves.
Ow.
I hate them.
And then just something of note as far as a college quarterback who will be moving on to the NFL ranks. And this was, I don't know if this was reported by Rappaport or if this was this was Tom Pelissero of NFL Network
and
other reporting stuff. He said that some NFL draft scouts allegedly don't have Shedeur Sanders as a first round talent. Which is hilarious because
it's all we've been hearing.
Yes, very true, but also I just think that if Shedeur Sanders he's going to the NFL. I just don't think it's going to be fun for him, at least right out of the gate. I mean, you see some quarterbacks, they make the transition and start off very well. We've seen it with Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix this year. We've seen it with CJ Stroud. There's usually one or two of these first round quarterbacks that end up making the transition and playing just fine. And it's like, all right, that's our franchise guy. If Shedeur Sanders is going to have success in the NFL, it ain't going to happen early. It may be after year three or four, but I think he's going to have a rude awakening. And as far as the scouts, what they see and what they look at is very different than what the media sees. But if that is true, and there are a lot of scouts that don't even have a first-round grade on Shedeur Sanders, his agent is going to be working overtime to start paying some other media members, some Mel Kuypers and the like, to start switching that narrative around.
Because wow.
I mean, Shedeur Sanders right now on draft boards as far as quarterback, he's like QB1, QB2.
We've been hearing that, like, he might want to dictate where he goes. He might be that good. And now all of a sudden he's not even a first round talent. What's up with that?
Yeah, this is the exact quote from Tom Pelissero. I'll leave you with this. I've already talked to people within the league who don't have anything close to a first round grade on the guy.
Thank you.
Anything close to a first round grade.
I'm not saying he's a bust, but what I'm saying is when anybody gets out there and say, this guy, number one overall pick, they're all just guessing. We're all just guessing out here, okay?
Very intriguing. We have, the draft? Is that late April?
I think so. Yeah, they moved it up. It's like the third or last week of April, I believe.
Yeah, because it used to be the first round in May, but yeah, now it's, I believe, draft is April 24th.
Nolan's just scored a touchdown, by the way.
Oh, God.
Are you freaking kidding me, Tampa Bay?
Oh, my God. Well, enjoy the rest of the NFL Sunday and what is to come. Who is going to seal up those final playoff spots? God only knows at this point.
No kidding. The look on Derek Carr's face after that touchdown. Oh, my God.
NFL draft, yeah, April 24th. So we still got basically 4 months left to go of Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, what the hell's going to happen there? First quarterback taken. And who knows what the hell's going to happen with the final day of NFL football. because we clearly don't know what the hell's going to happen even beforehand, during, at all. But enjoy the Sunday night game, Vikings-Lions.
I am
huge
so
game there.
For that
I am very excited as well. Definitely will be parked in front of the TV for that one.
Darn tootin'.
Jordan, thank you as always.
Appreciate you, Joe. Happy New Year to you, since it's the last time I'm going to say it. Love you. Love you all listening as well.
Likewise, sir. Likewise. Thank you all for listening on this final NFL regular season Sunday. We will catch you next Sunday at 9 a.m. Peace.